tidings.
Christmas time, it's an interesting time of year. It's a time of year when most people eat a lot of desserts. Amen? We're going to have some cookies in a minute. Now, people say, well, why do people eat so many desserts at Christmas time? Well, the reason is, and I figured this out, the reason why we eat so many desserts at Christmas time is because desserts spelled backwards is stress. And I'm telling you, between Thanksgiving and New Year's, there is a lot of stress. Amen? Christmas is stressful. And, God
says it doesn't have to be stressful. We can just rejoice in the Lord. Amen? We can rejoice in the goodness of God. We call this sometimes the Charlie Brown complex. We all know who Charlie Brown is. If you don't, Google will tell you later. But in the Charlie Brown Christmas thing, Charlie Brown was having trouble getting into the Christmas spirit, and Linus said, Charlie Brown, you're the only person I know who can take a wonderful season like Christmas and turn it into a problem. And many of us have the same problem as Charlie Brown when we should be lifting up the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2 and verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings. And listen to this, good tidings of great joy. You know, Christmas doesn't have to be a lot of desserts. Christmas doesn't have to be a lot of stress. Christmas is great news, good tidings, wonderful, glorious news that Jesus Christ has come. Let's pray together before we get into the message. Father, we thank you for, again, this opportunity to be here tonight. We thank you for each one that participated in our cantata tonight, for the singing and all of the people that did work, memorized, and did such a wonderful job. But most of all, we're thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful that God was willing to redeem, to buy back this world that was lost in sin. And without Jesus, we would be without hope. So, Lord, I pray tonight, if there's someone here that has maybe never understood the reason that Jesus Christ was born, I pray if there's somebody here that has never been born again into the family of God through belief and trust in Jesus Christ, that tonight they would make that decision. Lord God, I pray the Holy Spirit would work as we look into the Word of God. We thank you and we praise you. We ask your continued blessing in Jesus' name and amen. And again, quickly tonight, I just want to look at some of the key people. We looked at several of them already tonight. In our cantata, some of the key people in the birth of Christ, and of course the first one is Elizabeth. We heard from Elizabeth, and she gave a little maybe a story from her heart about what God may have been doing in her heart. Elizabeth, she in the Bible was beyond childbearing years, and people ask me, Pastor, do you believe the Bible? And I do. Amen. Bible. And I even believe my Bible. It says Mike is swinging on. And I believe that. Amen. I believe it from cover to cover. And when the Bible tells us, I remember years ago, about 10 or 15 years ago, there was a woman set a world record for childbirth. She was 67 years old. It wasn't natural, by the way, but she was 67 years old. And that was the oldest recorded woman to ever give birth. And I say, I'm sorry, you're wrong. There was Sarah in the Old Testament that Elizabeth told us about. She was 90. I believe that. Amen? And then Elizabeth, we don't know exactly how old Elizabeth was, but the Bible tells us that she was old. And I want to thank Adrian as a young woman. I got to say that so I don't get in trouble. Playing an older lady. And I'm certainly glad. As we think of Elizabeth, God came down and did something supernatural in her life. She was beyond childbearing years. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 1 and verse 5, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia,
And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blamelessly. Then the Bible says in verse 7, and they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. The angel visited her husband, the priest, one day in the temple. Zechariah was in there praying, and guess what he was praying for? He was praying for a child. And you know, listen, God can do the supernatural. Amen? He was past those years. His wife was past those years of having children, yet he continued to have faith in God that his wife was going to have a child. And so he's praying that God would do something. There was another story in the Bible about a guy by the name of Peter. We've all heard of Peter. And Peter got thrown in prison. And he was doing something horrible. He was preaching the gospel. And he got thrown in prison. And so the church said, listen, we got to have a prayer meeting for Peter. We got to do something to get Peter out of church, or out of jail, get him back in church. So they were at this house, they're having a prayer meeting, and they're on their knees and praying, God, would you get Peter out of church? And suddenly there was a get him out of the jail, sorry, there was a knock at the door. The daughter goes and answers the door. She comes back. The father says, who is at the door? He says, it's Peter. He says, it can't be Peter. He's in jail. Oh, Jack, maybe it's just his spirit. She runs back, she opens the door. It's Peter. You know, it's really him. So she comes back, and there's, her father sitting there praying. Peter, Lord, we're praying, God, get Peter out of jail. And his daughter comes and says, he's at the door. And he says, it can't be real. It can't be possible. And you know, sometimes we can think, maybe I can't be saved. You know, maybe I can't ever become a child of God. Maybe I can never, I can do bad. I've done too many horrible things in my life. God doesn't want me. Listen, God wants you. Amen. God wants you saved. And Zacharias, the Bible says, was in that temple, and he was praying, and he was asking God to do the supernatural. And just like Peter, when God answered that man in that house, when God answered his prayer, he didn't believe it. The angel came along and said, Zacharias, your prayers have been answered. Your wife is going to have a child, and he didn't believe it. He said, wait a minute, my wife's too old. I would ask him, so why are you praying? And God said, well, I'm glad that you're a faithful man. I'm glad that you're a priest, that you walk with me, that you're obedient, you won't sin. But he said, until the child is born, you're not going to speak. And all the wives said, hopefully it happens in my house. No, you're not saying that. So, you may believe in Jesus Christ. You maybe all your life you believe that Jesus exists, you believe that he's the Savior of the world. You believe that you know he is the person the Bible tells that he is. But deep down in your heart, you know you've never been saved. You know that you're not going to be in heaven if this life was over. Jesus Christ came to be the Savior of the world, and he wants you saved. And all you need to do is to believe. There was another person in the Bible, and that was another woman, and her name was Mary. And Mary was an unmarried woman, the Bible said, who had never known a man. And this was another, if you will, miraculous birth. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit of God came in unto her, and she was with child. The Bible says in Luke chapter 1, verse 34, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? How is it possible that I am going to have a child? It was a miraculous birth, and in verse 35, the Bible says, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called, listen to this, the Son of God. Do you know,
The Bible talks about sons of God, and by the way, that includes slaves. Amen? Children of God. It talks about many types of sons of God. Angels are called sons of God. The Bible talks about Christians as being the sons of God. You know, we are born into this world, but we are not born into God's family. I know most of us are probably from different backgrounds. You know, we were maybe raised in different areas, different parents, different customs, different food, different languages maybe. We're all a little bit different, but there's one thing we all have in common. We have a mom and dad. If you don't have a mom and dad, please raise your hand. You didn't have a mom and dad. That's a guarantee. You have a mother and you have a father. Yet here the Bible says that Mary didn't ever know a man. And she said, how can this possibly be? We have a mother and father, and we were born into a family. I was born into a children's family. And I know that there were some times when my parents probably would show up. But, you know, none of us are born into God's family. I hope that's true. None of us are born into God's family. The Bible says that we need to be born again, and that means we need to be born another time, not physically, but we need to be born spiritually. We need to be born into God. You know, I don't remember my first birth. I know my mother did. I know the doctors did. I know lots of people did. But I don't remember it, but I do remember my second. That happened on November 11th, 1995. I was driving down the road, realized I was a sinner. Realized that if I was to die that night, I was driving home, it was 1 o'clock in the morning, I was working the afternoon shift, I was tired, I was sleepy, and I had been searching, I had been reading my Bible, I had been looking for God, searching for God for many years, and driving down that road right there that night, I realized that if I drove off that road and I died, that I wouldn't be in heaven anymore. Because I'd never been born again. I'd never been born again. We sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. That's one of my favorite hymns. My daughter used to sing that we're reconciled. She used to say we're raccoon style. I think she's got it straight now. But the Bible says there that he was born to give us second birth. He was born to give us second birth. And without that second birth, you can never enter the kingdom of God. Except the man born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And so there that night, 1 o'clock in the morning, driving on the road, I prayed and asked God to save me. Now, I tell people when I didn't tell them that testimony, but when I prayed, I didn't close my eyes while I was driving on the road. I wanted to go to heaven, but not present then. Amen? And no matter where you are, no matter what place you are in life, you can be born again. You can be born again tonight. God wants you born into His family, and guess what? You'll have a heavenly Father. Now, I mentioned the sons of God. The Bible talks about different types of sons of God. If you're born again into God's family, guess what? You become a son of God. A child of God. But the Bible in John 3:16 says that God has an only begotten son. One. There's only one son of God that can say that he was born of God. God was his. There's no adoption. Mary, this young woman, had a life-changing experience. Could you imagine, as Elizabeth told us a little bit tonight, about what it must have been like for her as a young, unmarried woman in the days of Christ to be with a child of the Holy Ghost and all of the things that would go along with that. Yet God says, in verse 47 of Luke chapter 1, my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Mary rejoiced at the fact that she was chosen to be the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. We find as well the shepherds, these individuals, they were out one day doing what they did. Good shepherds were out tending the sheep. Amen. When we were practicing, a couple of the sheep strayed off and somebody said the shepherds aren't doing their job.
Don't let the sheep run away up there, you know. And that's part of the shepherd's responsibility, was to protect the sheep, to care for the sheep, and to make sure that they weren't stolen, to make sure that they were kept safe. And they were out one night doing their job, this ancient occupation that goes all the way back to the very beginning. The Bible says in verse 9, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." And in Luke chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." So here is Elizabeth. Her life is completely changed by the birth of Christ. Here's Mary. Her life is completely changed by the birth of Christ. And here's the average working class people. Shepherds, they were kind of, not at the bottom of the totem pole. It's occupation. Say, what do you want to do for a living? They don't want to be a shepherd. They want to be a shepherd. But that's what God used. That's where God visited. Shepherds were just one book of business, and their lives would change forever. The angel shone around about them, and you can imagine the fear. You stop and think about it, the fear that would have came over them.
I've been doing this job for 30 years, and I've never had an angel come down, light up the entire region, and start talking to me. This is new. I don't know. I got to check my collective agreement to make sure this is in the union and it's allowed. But this is different. Something's changed. Something's going on. And their lives were never the same.
The angel told them to go and to see this child. He said, "Don't be troubled as well. Don't allow all of the things that you're seeing right now trouble you. I'm here to bring you good tidings, good news." Good news. And this good news is the news that should bring us all great joy. These common laborers, whether you're a shepherd, whether you're a rich investor, whether you're a miserly Scrooge, whether you're a benevolent philanthropist, God has sent good news to all people, in all places, in all of the world. Jesus Christ came and died for the sins of the world. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 11, the Bible says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David, which is Christ the Lord." He says, "He sent unto the city of David a Savior." Now, I just want to quickly go over this word Savior. One of the popular dictionaries says this: a deliverer, a protector, a healer. And we need a deliverer, we need a protector, and we need to be healed. We need to be delivered from our sin. The Bible says in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18 that we're to preach deliverance to the captives. Do you know every single one of us, the Bible says we're slaves to sin? You're saying, well, I don't know if Pastor,
I don't know if that's true about me. I'm not saying anything. But let me ask you this question. We've never, ever, in the history of humanity, has anyone ever had to teach their kids how to do law. Guess what? They know how to do it naturally. You know how to do it naturally? Now you're not inviting them. Because they're your children. And where did we learn it from? We got it from our parents. So on all the way down to Adam and Eve plunged mankind into sin. And the Bible says that we are now slaves to sin. We can't break sin. And it follows us around everywhere. And it seems to creep up when we least expect it. We need to be healed from our sin.
We need to be healed from our illnesses. Again, our disease is sin. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. We need to be made whole because we fall short. The Bible says in Romans 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, there's not a righteous person in this room. There's not a righteous person in this town of Wasaga Beach. There's not a righteous person in this province of Ontario. There's not a righteous person in this country of Canada. There's not a righteous person in this continent of North America.
And we can even say there's not a righteous person in the entire world. The Bible says all of us have sinned. We've all lied, we've all stolen, we've all cheated, we've all had wrong thoughts. Some of you might be having wrong thoughts right now, saying, how long have you been taught? Because I want to get down there and the hot chocolate and cookies. We've all been there. And if we're honest, we have to admit that we're sinners. The Bible says there that we come short of the glory of God.
Jesus Christ came to make up the difference. He came to save us, to make us whole because we do fall short. We need a Savior because we're lost. The Bible says for the Son of Man, Jesus Christ was born, the Bible says, to save that which was lost. You know, we're lost in sin. The day we were born with a sinful nature, separated from God, and God sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die so that God and sinners can be reconciled. You know, if I asked a person one time if they were going to heaven, and they said, well, I think so.
I asked him why. And he said, well, I've been a good person. I haven't murdered anybody. I think that's good. Keep that out.
Yeah.
Amen? That's good. I have been in jail and incarcerated. And any of these things. And I said, well, you never lost. Have you ever told him? Have you ever gone by anything? No, I'm not sure. And I said, listen, if you can get saved by going to church, if you can get saved by being so good, and how is Jesus the Savior? How is He the Savior? How is He your Savior? Why did He die on the cross? If there was any other way to be reconciled to God, then why did Jesus Christ born to me? Why did He live for 33 and a half years and why did He die on that brutal cross? He died so that we would be reconciled.
There's only one way to heaven. And that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1932, Robert McGimsey attended a Christmas Eve service in New York City and then headed back to his one-room apartment. As he walked the final blocks, he passed by the open doors of a private club where people were partying with all of their might. They didn't seem to have a clue that it was Christmas Eve, and if they did, they didn't seem to care. As he stepped over people who had passed out on the sidewalk, he thought to himself, what a strange way to celebrate the birth of the most perfect person who ever lived on this earth. These people are missing the whole significance of his life. When he finally arrived home, he scribbled some more thoughts on the back of an envelope, and the words formed the basis of a popular Negro spiritual, "Sweet little Jesus boy, they made you to be born in a manger. Sweet little holy child, don't know who you was. Didn't know you'd come to save us, Lord, to take our sins away. Our eyes was blind, we couldn't see. We didn't know who you was. Have you been ignoring Jesus Christ? Don't let Christmas pass without realizing why Jesus came. You know, every one of us tonight has an opportunity to be born again. And we can do that tonight. You know, there's lots of folks here from our church who would be happy to show you how you can be saved, how you can know your sins are forgiven, how you can know you're a child of God. And don't leave here without making that decision for Christ. Christ loves you, and Christ died for you, and He wants you to become His child. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for Christmas, for all that You've done, that God in the flesh, God incarnate, was willing to die for the sins of the world. This was the reason why He came. So Lord, would You bless work in hearts tonight? And again, I do pray if there's somebody here who's concerned about where they're going to spend eternity, who is unsure about heaven, that they would not leave here without making that decision. God loves you. Jesus Christ loves you. We love you. And we desire to see you saved. So God, would You bless, and we'll praise You and thank You and ask Your continued blessing in Jesus' name, and amen. We'll just have a stanza of one song, and then I'll close in prayer, and then we can head downstairs.